So I am very ready for winter to be over, but I know that summer is always a bit of a mixed bag for you.
Yeah, summer, as much as I love the long days and the warm weather, is also a fun breeding ground for my least favorite animal on earth, the mosquito.
Do you want to tell our listeners what happens when you get a mosquito bite? It's
It basically
incredible.
Looks like Lyme disease. I have a very, very strong reaction to mosquito bite. And I've had doctors basically say, like, I'm allergic to mosquito bite.
But everyone's allergic to mosquitoes, right?
Yeah, I mean, we all react a little bit, but not everybody looks like they have straight Lyme disease.
It looks insane. Well, what if I told you there might be a way to murder every single mosquito on the face of the planet?
I would be so down. I am so interested.
All right. We'll see if you change your tune by the end of this episode, but let's see.
All right. Let's do it. Welcome to A Beginner's Guide to Playing God, where we teach you how to use
or abuse
science to shape the world. I'm your co-host, Danny Vellon.
And I'm Jim Valcourt.
Jim, what are we talking about today?
Well, like I said, today we're going to tell you how to murder every mosquito on the face of the planet, and then we're going to debate whether or not that is a good idea. So first, let's start off with why might you actually want to kill mosquitoes, besides them being very annoying and giving you basically Lyme disease. Probably the best argument for killing mosquitoes is that they kill a lot of humans. In fact, the Gates Foundation estimates that mosquitoes have killed more people than any other animal, including other humans. So wow. Mosquitoes are right up there at the top. Then you have humans. Do you want to guess what comes next?
Sure. Would it be like sharks or bears or something?
Good guesses, but no. Sharks and bears are way down the list. So sharks kill about 10 people every year. Next up is snakes killing about 50,000 people a year.
Wow. Oh my God. Are they like venomous snakes or is
venomous
it like
snakes? Presumably. Okay. Yes.
It's like how many people are getting swallowed whole by a python every day?
25,000 people killed by dog bites via rabies.
Ooh, yeah. I should have thought of rabies.
And then the tsetse fly, sleeping sickness, 10,000 people a year. Compare that to about 725,000 people a year killed by mosquito-borne illnesses. And you can sort of see why you might want to get rid of mosquitoes.
Besides just the fact that they're incredibly annoying, they're also deadly.
So probably the biggest disease on that list is malaria. And that kills alone 400,000 people a year. And about two-thirds of those are actually children. So it's really, really pretty tragic and a huge problem, especially in areas that don't have the economic development to be able to afford a robust anti-malarial campaign.
Right. And that's sort of the focus of the Gates Foundation work to combat malaria, is to help these, you know, poorer communities that don't have current infrastructure that would help them combat the disease. But I think even with the work that the Gates Foundation is doing, you know, I know you can sort of treat malaria with drugs, but we're seeing that it's also prone to resistance, similar to the way that like antibiotics can cause antibiotic resistant bacteria to crop up.
Yeah, absolutely. We've spent, you know, decades trying to fight malaria in poorer countries. And, you know, you can put up nets to try to keep people from being bitten while they're sleeping. You can try to treat malaria with drugs, but it crops up a bunch of resistance. And it's just been a real slog trying to cut down the number of malaria deaths. So when I say kill all mosquitoes, though, that's a little misleading, because what I actually mean is there are like 3,500 species of mosquitoes, but only about 100 of them are actually carriers of human disease. So I actually want to focus on the ones that are a problem, so the ones that carry human disease.
Yeah, makes sense. But I do want to point out how terrifying it is that there are 3,500 species of mosquito out there. I am not okay with that.
I think that you have more of a claim than most to be terrified by all mosquitoes. But you know that only the females bite humans, right?
Yeah, I've definitely heard that, but I don't know, like, what do male mosquitoes eat?
So I think they mostly feed on plant nectar or, like, honeydew. And actually, I think that's the main food source for both males and females.
Oh.
It's just that the females bite humans and suck their blood in order to get the protein and other nutrients that they need to make their eggs. So it's really like that reproductive part that is reliant on sucking blood.
Have people tried any other types of control measures besides trying to treat malaria with drugs? Or I think you mentioned like some of the mosquito nets.
Yeah, I mentioned nets, but, you know, people have also tried draining the standing water that mosquitoes rely on in order to breed. And then, you know, treating the diseases themselves, as we talked about, has a lot of problems with resistance. And, you know, new diseases pop up all the time. And so this is a constant battle. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just get rid of this carrier?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we saw even as, you know, recent as 2016 with the Zika virus that, you know, mosquitoes are not limited in what sorts of very harmful diseases that they can carry. So just trying to treat all of the things that they're just bearing as they bite humans is not going to solve the problem.
So let's attack the problem at the source. Let's
kill them all.
Let's kill all mosquitoes. I want to focus this episode on perhaps the most controversial proposition for trying to kill all mosquitoes, and that is a technique called a gene drive. So the basic idea here is that we are going to use advanced biological techniques to force the spread of a gene of our choice throughout the mosquito population. And in this case, that would be a harmful gene that makes the mosquitoes infertile and or unable to carry disease.
So would you basically like engineer a mosquito population in a lab that has a harmful gene and then, you know, release that engineered species into the wild and then hope that that harmful gene, you know, sort of spreads its way naturally among the broader mosquito population?
It's a little more complicated than that because in this case, natural selection is not our friend. And so you couldn't just introduce a harmful gene and expect that to naturally spread throughout the population because all of the mosquitoes that didn't have that harmful gene would just outcompete the ones that did. So instead, we need to actually tip the scales in favor of our harmful gene in order to get it to spread throughout the mosquito population.
So how exactly would we do that?
Well, you probably know that many animals, including humans, have two copies of each gene. And so a gene drive is basically a killer copy of the gene that destroys any other copies and replaces them with itself.
Kind of like the Borg or invasion of the body snatchers.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So this is an invasion of the body snatchers gene. This is an oversimplification, but imagine there were just one gene that controlled eye color, and you wanted to make a gene drive that forces an organism to have blue eyes. And so the blue eyes version of this gene would actually destroy any brown eyes copies that it happens to be in the same organism with and replace them with blue eyes genes. And so that way, the blue eyes version of the gene can spread throughout the population very quickly because it assimilates the competition. So instead of like a killer version of the blue eyes gene, what if we had one that makes any mosquito that carries it unable to bite humans or die?
Awesome. Yes.
Yeah. Now we've solved malaria. We've solved dengue. We've solved every other mosquito-borne illness. And so that could be appealing if you're willing to play God.
Definitely. Definitely. So how do you actually make this gene drive with this like killer blue eyes copy that attacks the other gene?
Well, so the most popular way is using a technique called CRISPR, which we may talk about in a future episode. These are molecular scissors that can cut at a particular sequence of DNA and insert something else there. So in this case, what we're going to do is we're going to program the blue eyes gene to have two parts, basically the normal blue eyes gene, the thing that makes blue eyes, and then another part that makes a protein that will cut at the sequence of any brown eyes copies and insert the blue eyes gene. So you have both the normal blue eyes payload and then also this gene drive portion that is going to attack the brown eyes part and insert the killer blue in its place.
Cool. So how can we apply this gene drive to mosquitoes?
probably one of the leading proposals, just to pick a specific example, involves targeting a gene called double sex. So double sex is involved in determining the sex of the mosquito, you might be unsurprised to learn, and in reproduction. So if we break the double sex gene in a specific way that makes the females unable to bite and unable to lay eggs, then that sort of solves our problem. So the plan here is to make a killer gene drive version of double sex that attacks all of the normal copies of double sex and replaces them with this broken version. So that would make all of the females sterile and unable to lay eggs, but the males, which again don't bite people, and so we don't have a problem with the males, they're fine. So they go around and they spread this payload. So they have the broken double sex, but they can go mate as normal and spread this gene drive around. So eventually the population will then die out because this double sex gene spreads throughout the population via the males. All of the females become sterile once they come into contact with this gene drive. And thanks to the male mosquitoes, you eventually spread it around.
Yeah, and then I guess the population eventually dies out. How long would it take for, you know, I guess any given species of mosquito that you're trying this gene drive on, how long would it take for those mosquitoes to die out?
So it depends on the exact details of the implementation. But, you know, rule of thumb, maybe around like 16 generations is an estimate that I've read. Or, you know, a few months if we're talking about mosquitoes.
Yeah, so pretty quick, at least on an evolutionary time scale.
Yeah, if you were able to build a gene drive that worked perfectly, then it would be a very quick sort of solution.
Seems a little scary, honestly, but interested to sort of explore that more.
Well, so I should say that there is a less drastic way of taming the mosquito population, one that is a little less irreversible. So the way you would go about that is to actually infect mosquitoes with a bacterium that is harmless to humans, but causes mosquito eggs not to hatch. So you would infect these male mosquitoes in a lab and then release the infected males. And they would then go around mating with wild-born females and rendering their eggs sterile. Because these infected male mosquitoes will compete out all of the uninfected wild mosquitoes, if you release enough of them, then that will depress the population because most of the eggs that are produced in a generation won't hatch.
So how do we know that these infected mosquitoes will actually outcompete the other male mosquitoes in the population?
It's really a game of numbers here, so you just have to release a lot of infected male mosquitoes. It's not that they are like inherently more virile,
right,
or something. It's just that if there are 10 infected mosquitoes to every one non-infected, most of the time the females are going to mate with the infected ones.
And I guess there's always the chance that like you'll have the non-infected ones outcompete the infected males, and so you probably have to like continue to introduce more of these infected males into the population in order to keep the competition high.
Well, that speaks to the downside of this approach, which is that you have to release a lot of mosquitoes and the population will come back if you stop doing it. So it is it's a relatively expensive approach and it is a long-term commitment.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like the best solution if you want to take care of the mosquito problem permanently.
So I guess the question then becomes, should we actually do this? Should we think about playing God in this particular instance?
I think that's a really good question. And I think it brings up a lot of other questions about, you know, how have humans interacted with animal life over the course of our history? I mean, we can't say that humans have never killed off a bunch of animals or even, you know, certain species of animals in the past.
Well, in fact, we've done it very specifically and very intentionally before. So there were these two American scientists, Edward Nippling and Raymond Bushland, and they spearheaded the elimination of what's called the screw worm from the Americas. So this is a species of fly that in the larval stage feeds off living cattle and other livestock. So they lay their eggs in, if the cattle have sort of a wound, They will lay their eggs in the wound, and the maggots will hatch and feed on the living tissue
that is nasty.
Of the cattle. Having maggots eating their cows was rather unpopular among ranchers, I would say.
And probably among cows, too.
So the weakness of the screwworm is that the females can only mate once. So the scientists, in partnership with the USDA, released males that were sterilized by radiation in this case, kind of a tie back to our last episode. So they would bombard these male screwworms with radiation, made sure that they could still live and mate, but were not able to produce offspring. And by releasing these sterile males in large quantities, they were able to wipe out the screwworm in North America.
Yeah, I'm sure the cows and ranchers were both very happy about that instance of humans playing God.
Yeah, so that particular use doesn't seem to be very controversial, but gene drive might be a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, I mean, like, are we concerned that gene drive could be, you know, used for nefarious things? Like, you know, I don't know, like as a bioweapon or something?
So I'm actually not all that worried about that, but I would note that there are definitely experts who disagree with me. So DARPA, for example, has invested a lot of money in studying how to stop gene drives. So I actually know people from my PhD program who worked on trying to do mathematical modeling of how gene drives spread and how they might be controlled. That said, I tend to think that, at least right now, there are a lot more easy and effective ways to make a bioweapon, if we're being honest. I don't know if that's comforting, but but there you go.
Yeah, it makes sense. And I think it's an interesting sort of psychological effect of trying to compare these new technologies, which are really specific in terms of what they're doing to your DNA, to the way that we may have gone about doing this sort of thing in the past. You know, we think, oh, because we know so much more about the genome and because we can be so specific with these targets, you know, now that we have that in-depth knowledge, we can misuse it more. But actually, I think, like you're saying, that specificity is what protects us from considering these methods as the most effective way, I guess, if it's a comfort to introduce any sort of bioweapon into the population.
Yeah, I think it's both the specificity and the relative complexity of gene drives. Gene drives aren't that complicated, but they're a lot harder than, you know, mailing a vial of anthrax, for example. But, you know, actually, mosquitoes themselves have been considered as a bioweapon before. So there's some evidence that the Nazis investigated whether malaria-infected mosquitoes could survive being dropped out of airplanes so that they could use them to infect Allied soldiers on the battlefield.
That's wild and weird.
It's super weird. It also doesn't seem like the most effective thing, but
like, did they not know about like anthrax back then? Like, that seems like that would be more effective.
Well, there's also this story that the Nazis flooded fields during their retreat through Italy in order to breed more mosquitoes and give the Allies malaria. I don't know that there's a lot of evidence that malaria was the end goal there, per se, rather than just, like, revenge or slowing down the Allies, but it's at least a thing that at least one historian has claimed.
Yeah, I would have been really pissed if I were an Italian back in those days.
I think there were probably a lot of things that you would have had cause to complain about
probably.
If you were an Italian back
probably.
In those days.
None the least, mosquitoes and having more of them. So I know like gene drives probably aren't going to be a very effective bioweapon, but like, are there any other health concerns related to introducing these gene drives into the world? Like, can they jump to other species? Anything like that?
In this specific case, I don't think that it's a huge concern for humans because we are targeting the gene double sex, which is pretty different from what we have in our genomes. So it wouldn't be a danger to humans, but could it jump to a closely related species? You know, that's possible. And that's something that I think that scientists are concerned about and would have to be addressed before we used this technology.
Not that I want to fight for mosquitoes in any way, but isn't it also sort of crazy to think about like what the impact of a mosquito eradication would be on the ecosystem? Like, I know they're not super important, but surely they play like some role beyond giving us diseases.
Yeah, I think they have roles as pollinators in some ecosystems. I think the general consensus is that probably you could get rid of mosquitoes and you would not suffer ecological collapse, but I think it's hard to be completely certain of any hypothetical like that.
Yeah, but also like to kind of contextualize what the, you know, strategy on the table here is. I don't think any scientists are really trying to like eradicate every single mosquito that is on the planet. We're just looking at the ones that are known to carry at least malaria and, you know, other potential human pathogens. But there are ones that don't do anything to humans besides give us terrible mosquito bites.
And I should note that the scientists who work on gene drives are very cognizant of these ethical concerns. Kevin Esfelt is a scientist at MIT who's been very involved in gene drives. And he's also been at the forefront of starting the ethical discussions about whether and how gene drives should be used or could be used in order to benefit humans while minimizing potential side effects.
That's great to hear.
I guess in general, my feeling is if you're worried about getting rid of mosquitoes, you must be livid about climate change, because that is wiping out a ton of species constantly without any idea or consideration of what the effects might be, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that kind of goes back to like, you know, when thinking of is this specific example that we're talking about today playing God, you know, let's put it in the context of the other ways humans have been playing God with, you know, probably far less interesting scientific technology and far less targeted than this technology.
And far less thought about what we're doing.
Yeah.
So certainly diverting rivers in Florida to help provide water for suburban developments destroyed the Everglades in a really catastrophic way. And, you know, we've talked about climate change is another huge problem that's been wiping out species left and right. And at least so far in the United States, we haven't had a great track record of addressing the problem.
Yeah, you know, you could use that that evidence to sort of sway you either one of two ways. You know, one, our track record on understanding our impact on the world around us has been poor so far, so maybe we should avoid trying to make any other big impacts. But like you said, the other way to think of it is just by being humans and trying to support human activity, we've made a lot of thoughtless impact on our world around us, which,
so you know, what's one more species?
So what's one more species? Or at least in this instance, you know, what's one species that we've thought carefully about for many decades now and have tried to come up with, you know, the least impactful techniques? Like I, as much as I hate all mosquitoes, will deal with having most of them around still if, you know, we can at least target the ones that are carrying harmful diseases and causing the deaths of, you know, hundreds of thousands of children a year.
Yeah, the thing that I keep coming back to is that you have to weigh the risks of doing something like this, wiping out a mosquito species, against the very real negative consequences that are happening right now. Namely, right. I weigh the value of the mosquito population against the, you know, 300,000 or so kids who die of malaria every year.
Yeah.
And that's just a mind-boggling human toll. And
totally.
I don't know. I think it's a pretty powerful argument for doing something.
Totally. Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think that's sort of how we approach, you know, even medicine today, right? Like you have to take into account what is the consequence of inaction versus the consequence of action. I would definitely be in favor of, you know, playing God in this instance. I definitely think this is playing God. You know, we are directly, intentionally trying to do something to impact the ecosystem. But I don't think it's a bad thing in this particular case.
So I think for me, this is sort of a mixed bag. I think it's definitely playing God, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we shouldn't do it. I think that the fact that we're still battling malaria in 2021 means that you might need to consider a more heavy-handed approach. Whether gene drive itself is the exact right way to go about this, I'm not sure, but I think we need to consider doing something pretty drastic because the situation as it is untenable.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us today on A Beginner's Guide to Playing God. I'm your co-host, Danny Vellin.
And I'm Jim Valcourt. If you liked the show, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can find us online at Playing God Pod on Twitter or at playinggodpod.com.
And if you have a suggestion for a topic you'd like to hear on a future episode, or you just want to say hi, shoot us an email at playinggodpod@gmail.com.
Thanks to Marcus Way for our intro and outro music, and we'll see you next time.
Probably the most controversial. I have to start over again.
Sorry.
He's so cute.
I'm sorry. He's so cute. Look at him. He's looking at me like so
happy.
And
by cute, I mean presenting his little tummy to me.
He's just so happy and submissive. He's like, look how much I trust you. I love you.
Aww.
You could attack my belly anytime, but if you touch me, I will murder you with my claws.